I actually been praying a lot more than usual lately because I've been going through many trials and sufferings. But that's just another subject for another time. I especially pray at the end of the year or the beginning of the year because I really want to be on target and ask God, what is the most important thing to bring out in view of the coming year? And this year, he really, really answered me. He gave me a message. And basically, what I heard was the war on the saints. The war on the saints, which is a phrase from the book of Revelation. Would you turn to Revelation 13? That he really wants us to be aware, in view of the coming year, of the reality of the war on the saints. Oh, the saints and the holy ones. Well, I used to be Catholic, so I thought there were just special people. But then I found out that any believer in Jesus is a saint. Because Jesus has made us holy. Amen? But the Bible says that Satan will make war on the saints. Revelation 13, verse 7. It was given unto him. To who? Well, you got to go back to verse 5 and 6. There is given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and those that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him. That's who? This arch blasphemer. This adversary, this enemy of God and everything holy. Notice it keeps saying it was given unto him. It's all given to him by the real God. He gives him this. He gives him power. He gives him a rope to hang himself. He gives him authority. He gives him a day in the sun, a time to express his evil fully, openly, without any hindrance whatsoever. And that, unfortunately, is the time we find ourselves in right now. Do you believe that? It's called the evil day. It's like the day when Jesus was crucified, when he said, "This is your hour and the power of darkness." It's the time where darkness steps out into the open, where it's as blatant as it can be, where it's fully allowed to express itself, where so much is given to it. So much of the press, so much attention, so much worldly power, so much wealth, so much affection is given to darkness itself. It's all given to him. And it's also given to him, and this is what the Spirit showed me, to make war on us, the saints. It was given unto him to make war on the saints and to overcome them. Someone says, why don't the Christians win more battles? Well, we do win, but we win by losing. Just like Jesus did. Satan was allowed to overcome him and slaughter him on a tree. But if the princes of the world had known what they were doing, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now the devil is allowed to clear the Middle East out of Christian communities that have been living there for thousands of years. The Muslims just come in and just wipe them out. Who's going to stop them? It's given to them to make war on the saints. And the devil would be given to him here in the West to do the same thing. I believe there's coming a terrible persecution madness someday. But I also believe it's given to him to lie. And so, with such impunity, lie. Moses says he blasphemed God, he blasphemed heaven, he blasphemed those that lived in heaven. Just a lie, just so much that there's almost no response. We don't have the press, we don't have the power to really rebut it. He just lies and lies and lies and lies to this generation. It's just given to him. He can just lie. Why does he want to lie? I think this is an important point. Because his real goal is to deceive people. And by deceiving them, to estrange them from God. That's really what the devil's all about. There is an intelligence. There is an organized evil. There is a type of being. It's not human, but it's angelic. Fallen angels. And much is given to him in the last days by God himself. Authority and power and dominion and all these little temporary victories. He's given to him to make war on the saints and overcome them. And power was given to him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. He wants the whole thing. The whole world. All kinds of people. Nations of the world. All the nations of the world lined up recently. And voted almost unanimously, except for us and a few other holdouts, that Jerusalem doesn't have anything to do with Israel. It's a blatant lie. But it's given to them. It's their time now. This is their time and the power of darkness. He says, and all those who dwell on the face of the earth, all those who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Hey, listen, he says. If you got ears, listen. There's a book that exists called the Book of Life. Anyone who at any point in their life can overcome the deception that's in this world so rampantly, such as Amari and Cain did, they might not even realize it, but they saw through the trick. And they could see that Jesus is real. And that his claims on our life are real. And that no matter what your background is, no matter what your religious background is, whatever, at some point in your adult life, you need to wake up and realize that the only way to be reconciled to God is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, Satan will do everything in his power to obscure that truth. But these two overcame that by the blood of the Lamb and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, he's almost going to deceive the whole world. Like John said in another place, whole world lies in the power of the wicked one. And there's so much I can say about this, you know. I think of the verse, again, from the night Jesus was betrayed, when he warned his disciples, Satan desires to have you, to sift you like wheat. What does it mean to be sifted? Well, you take a big pile of wheat and you run it through this little screen and you shake it and force it through the screen. Why? Because if there's any rocks or pebbles or anything bad, it's going to come out. Well, Satan wants to sift us. Why? To see what's in us. To see if there's anything in us that's sympathetic with him. Because if there is, then he can estrange us from God. This is the great time of sifting. And this is what the Spirit told me to talk about. And especially to focus on this whole concept, which is the primary concept of what the devil is all about, is deception. He's the deceiver. Now, every single person that's unregenerate, that means they're not born again, they're already deceived. They're already deceived. In other words, I was born deceived. On so many levels, we're deceived. Deceived is the description of every unborn again human being. That's what we are. We're just deceived. Now, that hurts. I don't like to be told that I'm deceived. In fact, it makes me angry if someone says, you're deceived. There's some reflex in me which says, no, I'm not. But that in itself is a deception. How can you be so sure? How do you know? As the Bible says in another place, there's a way which seems right unto a man, but the end is death. And destruction. How do you know you're not deceived? I mean, just being a human being. I mean, look, the Bible says on so many levels. I mean, I could just do a brief survey. The heart, Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful. Your own heart's deceitful. Heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who could know it? Now, this goes flies right in the face of the worldly message, which is basically, you should trust your heart. It'll always be true to your heart. Wait a minute, my heart has lied to me so many times. My heart is desperately wicked. My heart will always tell me and make a way for me to get what I wanted in the first place. And then it will go out of its way to justify me. No matter what, it's always their fault. It's never my fault. My heart has tricked me so bad that I actually agree now with Jeremiah 17. The heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Then he goes on to say, I, the Lord, know the heart. God knows your heart. But we don't know our own heart. Now I'm like Paul. I don't even know myself anymore. Lied to myself so long. He says, judge nothing before the time when the Lord gives you light. One day, minding my own business, living a typical American life, pursuing my own way, and sin was involved, and decadence, and pleasure seeking, and suddenly the light of God shined on me, and I saw myself completely different than what I thought. See, I was deceived. I thought it was good. He showed me. Now, I got a choice then. And that choice is to try to get past that experience and ignore it and go right back into my deception. Which, if I should do that, I got to tell you, the end of it is the lake of fire. It's hell. It's judgment. See, that's true too. There are many deceivers out there though. Servants of Satan. Even preachers. God wouldn't send anyone to hell. Why does the Bible say so much, beware of false prophets? Beware of false prophets. What does a false prophet do? According to the prophet Jeremiah, a false prophet tells you what you wanted to hear in the first place. Thank you, preacher. I've been looking for a preacher to tell me that what I've been doing all along is right. You're the first one. Hallelujah. Beware of false prophets. I mean, just do the Bible. Just do a survey of the Bible. A man is deceived if he's a hearer, but not a doer of the word. Right there, he's deceived. He's deceived if he says he has no sin. I'm no sinner. Did you hear that? That preacher called me a sinner. Well, the Bible says if you say you have no sin, you're deceived. He's deceived when he thinks himself to be something when he's nothing. Well, what do you think self-esteem is? What do you think this emphasis on self-esteem in this country is? Nothing but the biggest satanic deception there ever was. No matter how bad you are, you've been trained to think you're still good. Deep down inside, I'm a good guy. I'm a really good guy. And everyone's a good guy. Even the guy in prison that killed 6 people. Deep down inside, he's a good guy. What? If you think you're something and you're nothing, you're deceived if you think you're wise, but your wisdom is the wisdom of this world. You're deceived, as James says. If you seem to be religious, but really your mouth will say absolutely anything, depending on the company you keep. In churches, praise God, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Out there it's F in this and F in that and GD this and Jesus Christ that. Hey, God says if you take the name of the Lord in vain, He will not hold you guiltless. He will hunt you down to the third and fourth generation to make sure that He punishes you, because to Him that is God hatred. But we live in such a deceived age that even a lot of Christians have taken up cussing. What? Did I wake up in a nightmare movie or something? This is a nightmare. Satan's having his way with this generation. You're deceived if you think that you're going to sow and not reap. Do you just do anything? You just watch anything. You just expose your soul to anything. You can just plunge into pornography and you're going to have a clean heart? What? You're deceived. You don't even need the devil. You're already deceived. And you'll be deceived if you think, well, this is a real important one. He says in 1 Corinthians 6, don't be deceived. The unrighteous won't inherit the kingdom of God. Neither no drunkard, nor fornicator, nor homosexual, nor idolater, nor adulterer. They're not going to heaven. Wouldn't that be a no-brainer? Not anymore. Why? Let me tell you something, and I say it with sorrow and tears in my eyes. This generation is deceived. On its way to hell. And someone's gone along the road and put up signs that said, keep going, you're on the way to heaven. And one day you're going to come to the end of the road and it's going to be a cliff. And at the bottom of it, a lake of fire. How I hate to say that. And how I hate to have to plead with people not to go there. But deception's real. All this stuff in the Bible's real. To you baptismal candidates, your heart has been renewed. Congratulations. You got a new heart. If any man be in Christ, what? He's a new creation. And the old things have passed away. And you have taken Jesus up on the challenge. You must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. But now you're born of the Spirit. Amen? How many believe in a new birth? You know, if you're only born once, you're going to die twice. But if you're born twice, you're only going to die once. What's that mean? Well, if you're only born once, sooner or later you're going to die just like all of us. But then you'll be summoned out of the grave for judgment because you wouldn't accept the offer of eternal life. You're going to have something called the second death. I can't warn you enough against the second death. Be careful that you don't experience that. Do whatever you have to do to avoid that. If you die in your sins, then you'll know. Then you will be undeceived. You'll know. Unfortunately, you'll know by experience. That there really is a holy God. And He's righteous. And though He is love, He hates evil. So, congratulations. You turned your will over to God. You've been born again. Now your sins are forgiven. And it's not an end, but a beginning. You start your whole life. And every one of us here that's witness, all of us have a part to play in reinforcing that situation, see? Because the thing is, okay, God gives a gift, eternal life, right? The gift of God is eternal life. I just talked about this Wednesday. The wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life. But the gift of God that He gives in the form of eternal life doesn't come to us like our Christmas gifts that we just got. Or you get a little package here. Here's one for you. Here's one for you. Here's one for you. Here's one. That's not how this gift works. This gift is dependent and ongoing. What do I mean? He doesn't give you a box with eternal life in it. He grafts you into a vine, a person who has life. And His life goes into you. And then you're living His life. And He's the one that makes you fruitful. Now, why is that important? Because that's another one of the deceptions people have. Well, I already got eternal life. Well, you didn't get a box with a bow on it. You got plugged into a person. Well, what's the relevance of that? Are you still in Him?
Amen.
You abide? Or is that just an experience you think you had 15 years ago that's going to be good enough for you? You see what I'm saying? The deception's rank. We resent being told we're deceived. But if there's one message in the Bible that just goes over and over and over, take heed that no man deceive you. Make sure you're not deceived, especially in view of the last days. There will be false Christs, many deceivers. Actually, one of the scariest verses of all. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Here's one that really got me. 1 Timothy 4. Verse 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly. Notice what he's saying there? Just stop right there. The Holy Spirit really, really, really wants you to see this. The Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith. Then people leave the faith. Well, what happened? Well, they actually gave heed, which means they listened to seducing spirits. And amazingly, doctrines of devils. Teachings? Teachings of devils? What? Yeah, devils have teachings too. And he says they'll be especially rife in the last days. It's like this is the way the devil counters God. God has given us a word. Amen?
Amen.
So the devil comes back with a word. You got to choose which word. No, the devil comes back with another word and 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 another word. Jehovah's Witnesses have a Bible. Mormons have a Bible. Pearl of Great Price. They have several books. The Quran. I mean, for every word God gives, the devil comes up with 100 words. But wait a minute. I know I need a word. But which word? That's how the devil deceives. And then the devil comes up with doctrines, teachings. Okay. So I was raised under the teachings of devils. One of the teachings of devils that I was raised under, it doesn't sound too harmful, that you cannot eat meat on Friday. You must eat fish. Well, that's not going to do me any bad. I mean, I could stand to fast every once in a while, couldn't I? But wait a minute, I submitted to that. I submitted to that, even though it's not in the Word of God. Another teaching that I got was that if you die, wearing a scapula, which is a little necklace we bought in the basement of St. Ludmilla's Church. Remember that, Denny? That's where they sold all their stuff. Then the Virgin Mary would personally escort you from hell, or from purgatory, the Sabbath after your death. I went out and I bought the scapula. And I put it on even when I was in the shower. I had the scapula on. Why? Well, what if I die? I mean, I want Virgin Mary to come get me out of purgatory. There's so much deception on just that doctrine alone. There is no purgatory. What are you going to do when you die and find out there's no purgatory? You talk about brilliant. How brilliant is the devil? Well, you got to give the devil his due. Well, the Holy God, He really clarifies it for humanity. You only got two ends at the end of your life. You're going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. And you know what? That's remarkably merciful because it's clarifying. It just makes it so clear. Yes! I see it now! Anyone want to go to hell? No. But the doctrine of Satan says, wait a minute, there's actually three ends. And furthermore, it's almost like tailor-made for the human personality. You, Bill,
do not know anybody good enough to go to heaven. Well, he was right. Nor do you know anybody bad enough to go to hell. Do you know Charles Manson? Do you know Hitler? Do you know Stalin? Not personally. See? No one's so bad and no one's so good. Almost everyone you know that's Catholic is in the middle somewhere. A candidate for the third place. Purgatory. Sure, we got our flaws. And they're going to get burnt out there. Right? But you're not going to perish forever. Maybe after, seriously, 100 years or so, you'll be ready to go to heaven. And you know what? The doctrine of demons actually sounded reasonable. Made sense to me. As the Bible says, it's appointed unto men once to die, then the judgment, then whatever you are, you are. But I didn't know the Bible. I had no idea what the Bible said, really. Had no knowledge of the Bible. So, I'm shooting for the middle. Just like everyone I knew. Yeah, but if you die, and that's when you find out what the truth is, you're going to be disappointed. In the last days, many will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. What's a seducing spirit? Evil spirits will actually seduce people. Well, what do you got to do to seduce people? Well, to seduce anyone, what you've got to do is tell them what they already wanted to hear. So you got seducers. Like, I know a man who's a full-blown homosexual, lives with a full-blown homosexual partner, and is a member in good standing of Joel Osteen's church. He says, I love this church. It makes me feel comfortable. I've never seen a church like this before. It's the most loving, comfortable church I have ever been in. And he's been a member for years. What happened? Well, they seduced him. We're not going to judge you. What's going to happen to him? Is he likely to be saved? Is he likely to come where someone tells him about heaven or hell or preaches judgment? No! His partner and him know, right? They're like evangelicals. They know. They cry at certain songs and testimonies, lift up their hands and praise God. And they are living in something God himself has said, that is detestable. That is an abomination to me. I cannot abide it. What happened? Well, in the last days, see, the spirits themselves will be teaching people. That's what makes this scary. Doctrines of demons? I know of a woman who is an atheist and a psychologist. Well, that's a pretty good combination. Okay, anyway, atheistic psychologist named Helen Schiffman, she was also happened to be Jewish. That's neither here nor there. But she heard a voice one day, and it really troubled her. She actually went for therapy to try and get rid of the voice, and they never went. And finally someone said, instead of fighting the voice, why don't you work with it? So, she did. The voice came to her and says, I want you to take down what I'm going to tell you, and I'll dictate, and you take it down. What came out of that was a 1,200-page book called A Course in Miracles. Anyone ever heard of A Course in Miracles? I'm glad you haven't. It's very wildly popular in the world. Been featured on Oprah and some of the other false prophets. They love that. What is it? It's a spiritual course for people who are spiritual. And basically the Spirit taught her there is no sin, there is no hell, therefore there's no redemption. The only hell is if you condemn yourself for any reason, because you shouldn't condemn yourself. You are perfect. You just don't know it. You're God. You don't know it. Now look, I'm telling you, even though you haven't heard of it, hundreds of thousands of people in America have eaten this up. Think of how it came. Just write down what I'm going to tell you. The woman didn't even believe in the spiritual. Course in Miracles. Scary, isn't it? It's really, really frightening. This is exactly what he said happened in the last days. Now spirits are seducing people. Right and left. It's like everything, I'm getting ready to close. Everything that was at once just so obvious, biblically. I mean, just the whole Christian church had a consensus. And they didn't get it out of the blue. They got it from the Bible. The whole thing was just so obvious. Homosexuality is a sin. Taking drugs, that's a sin. Illicit drug use, that's a sin. Fornication, that's a sin. Adultery, that's a sin. Point by point, every last one of them. It's being deconstructed. They're actually coming up with a new kind of Christianity. We can do all this stuff and still be all right with God. See, that's another deception. You're deceived if you don't think sin will affect your relationship with God. I think of the prophecy of Daniel. He said in the last days, man, even some of the teachers will fall. But they can be purified, though. They can pick themselves back up. I got thinking about a passage in Deuteronomy, which I won't have you turn to because I've kept you, but I just want to talk through it. Deuteronomy 18, where God said to Moses, by statute and law, you make sure that there's no witch, no fortune teller, no astrologer, no diviner, no hypnotist. You don't even let them in the door. In fact, he gave them a death penalty for any of that stuff. Why did he have those laws? Because he knew that they were in a spiritual warfare and that they're actually dealing with realities in those things. They're not true, but they're realities. And that those things want to find entry into the people of God. So Moses was instructed by God to keep the camp of Israel utterly free from those things, which would corrupt them so bad. He even gave the penalty of death. The fact that he gave statutes in connection with this subject, and the extreme penalty enforced for disobedience, shows in itself that evil spirits are real. God knew it. And that their wickedness is so profound that to have anything to do with them is corrupting to the core. And that they have an ability to communicate with and actually influence human beings. That's why I about passed clean out when I saw a toy catalog selling pink Ouija boards to little girls. Direct contact with the evil spirits. And that it's very necessary for the people of God not to be passive on any level, but to have an uncompromising hostility to the occult and to all the works of the occult. Now, I saw a crazy modern lunatic church out in California, which happens to be a mega church, so it's very popular. Come up with their own Christian tarot cards. This is the last days. So I said, Lord, what about 2018? What do you have to say to us? What do you want us to be aware of? I want you to know, and I want you to know, Cain, that not only are you entering into a new life, but into a spiritual warfare. That the armor of God is adequate. That now you have the righteousness of Christ, not your own. That you will always be accepted by God because of Christ. And now you have a shield of faith. Is the way the devil attacks is by thoughts. He imputes thoughts
through philosophies and reasonings. You can turn them on the radio. You can get them on TV. But Satan's doctrine is coming across mentally. And you've got to take up the shield of faith, which says, look, that's not biblical. I'm not accepting it. And you got a helmet that you could put on and protect yourself called the hope of salvation. You know what? It won't be long and the rapture is going to happen. He that began the good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. And you can put on the belt of truth. That's why we keep having Bible. Because only the truth can make us free. And let your feet be shod by knowing that the gospel is the gospel of peace with God. That Jesus put us on God's side by dying for our sins. And that now you're a daughter of God and His favor is on your life. May the Lord bless you. Why don't you go back and get ready if you have to change your clothes or whatever. And we'll have commence our baptism. I want Don to help and maybe the worship team to come up.